Merciful God, may the words of my lips and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and redeemer. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Is it really surprising to any of you that the disciples seem confused most of the time when Jesus is talking to them? And I know I said something similar 2 weeks ago, but this final discourse of Jesus, which this is part of, and toward the end of, when Jesus is saying goodbye to the disciples before he ascends to be with the Father, once again, with all the ins and whiffs and abides and what? And so it doesn't surprise me that the disciples seem constantly surprised by what happens to Jesus. He told them all along, all through his ministry, that he was going to be crucified. Yet they were surprised when Judas came with the kiss and he was taken away. He told them he would come back to life after 3 days and be with them again. And yet they are once again surprised that this has come to pass. And now, once again, he has laid it out as plainly as he can, plainly, that he will be ascending to be with the Father, and that there is going to be an advocate sent to remain with them. So this is one of the most clear and explicit examples of Trinitarian theology that we have, upon which our creed is based and multiple councils have happened. Yet still, it's really hard for us to explain, not only to others, but to ourselves, what this whole Trinity God thing is, but also who this Holy Spirit is. We have trouble because we have the Father, and we all, whether or not we have a Father in our lives, we know what a Father is. We have the Son, who's also known as the teacher, the friend, the disciple. All of these things have names that we can understand, and then all of a sudden we get Holy Ghost. What is that supposed to mean? But here Jesus gives us a name. And if you notice, when he gives us this name or this title of advocate, he says he will send you another advocate, implying that this is not the first time this has happened. So who is this other magical advocate? But if we look further back in the Gospel of John, before this verse takes place, we learn that Jesus was that advocate. And it's so important for us to know that when we explore what this role of the advocate is. And so I decided to do some field work and research to get ready, because every assistant, every seminarian knows that they're going to be preaching on the Trinity multiple times a year. It just happens to be the way that the preaching rota works out. And so I decided to watch one of my favorite videos on the Trinity last night. And it's by a company called Lutheran Satire. And so the video opens with a picture of some cliffs in Ireland and two little animated Irish farmers in front of these cliffs. And they're having a conversation with St. Patrick, who is off camera. And so the farmers say to St. Patrick, "We really want to understand the Trinity. We want to understand how God can possibly be three in one. And don't forget that we're uneducated. So we really need you to explain this well and use very basic terms." And so Patrick dives in and starts to explain it, and they cut him off and they say, no, Patrick, that's too confusing. We really need you to talk to us like we are very basic people and we don't understand any of this. Could you use an analogy?" And so Patrick says, "Well, I guess you could take the instance of water." And water can occur in three different ways. It can be liquid, it can be vapor, or it could be solid. And then one of the farmers cuts him off again and says, "That's modalism, Patrick." Modalism is a heresy that they said was not an accurate way of describing the Trinity. And I could go much deeper into that, but that's the basic point of it. And so Patrick says, okay, I'll try again. And he starts again and again and again and again. These two uneducated basic farmers cut Patrick off and say, "Oh no, that's Arianism. Oh no, that's that one." And they go through all of the major heresies of the church. And then gets to the end, and finally Patrick throws up his hands and says, "The Trinity is a mystery that we cannot explain with our words alone, but we have faith which allows us to believe it." Ugh. And the farmer says, "Well, why didn't you say that in the first place, Patrick?" I love this video. I may have watched it about 8 times this week. Because it's true. We aren't giving up when we talk about the holy mystery. We are relying on our faith that we hold so dear. If we think for even a moment that there are languages that exist on this planet that can accurately depict the person of God in words alone, we're mistaken. Our faith in the Trinity is a faith in something greater than ourselves. And by saying that we will try our hardest, but we have faith in this mystery, we are showing ultimate reverence to God. We're not trying to box God in with our words. And so we have this father figure who isn't actual literal father. And we get tied down by the vocabulary sometimes. And so we say, "Oh, God who is mother and father," or "God who is creator." And we try to find all these words, but God is I am. And here we have Jesus telling us that I am is in him, and he is in the I am. And this new person who we already know but didn't necessarily have a name for, the advocate, is coming. This advocate who won't leave us orphaned. Again, more parental language to let us know that we don't have to do this by ourselves. But when we think about what an advocate actually is, it's not as warm and fuzzy as we often make the Spirit out to be. You know, the Spirit is that still, small voice that sits on our hearts, and the Spirit is constantly in the wind around us, but as we know, sometimes that wind is violent, as it's described at Pentecost. An advocate is someone who comes to be with us when times get tough and we need a voice to stand up and with our own voice. The instance that I think of in the world today is when there is a messy custody battle going on in the courts, and the court appoints an advocate for the child so that an unbiased person is standing up for what is right in that instance. If we think of an advocate like that, how powerful is it to know that God is the one standing beside us when the going gets tough? That God is that advocate who is our voice in these times when we don't know the way through. We've all had times when we need that, and we can think of instances like those in the letter from Peter that we heard today, when the going gets tough and Peter says, "Well, hopefully they won't persecute you, but if they do, don't worry." Of course we're going to worry. Of course we're going to think, "How can they be doing this? I'm just trying to work for justice. How can they be doing this? I'm just standing up for what I believe. Where is God now? Because I feel orphaned." And it makes me think about our soldiers and our sailors and our Marines. How must they feel sitting in that foxhole, standing up for the freedoms that we enjoy, when they hear the mortar shells overhead? I'm sure there are times when they do feel orphaned, when they need this reassurance that the advocate is there with them, shouting through the darkness. And it makes me think of a young woman in the Sudan, Miriam Yahya Ibrahim. Miriam was sentenced to death, you may know, for renouncing her faith in Islam. But she maintains that she has been a Christian her whole life. They said her marriage was never valid because you can't marry someone of a different faith, and her husband is Christian. And still she says, I have been a Christian my entire life. And so there she sits with her swollen pregnant belly and her one-year-old son, shackled in prison, awaiting her sentence because she is refusing to say, no, I'm not a Christian. I don't believe in that God. And some of us might say, well, it's just words. You don't have to renounce God in your heart. But she says, no, I won't do that. Her husband says he is constantly praying for her because he doesn't know what else to do. Communities are crying out that we need to stop this injustice. But where is Miriam? She is sitting relying on the voice of her advocate to keep her strong. As we pray and sign petitions and do all of the things that we can do and feel so very small, we're relying on that same advocate to give us strength and to give us hope in what seems like a hopeless time. We need this advocate. And what's more, those of us who are blessed to live in a country where women and men have fought for years to preserve our freedom of speech and our freedom of religion, it's our responsibility to breathe in that wind of Pentecost, to accept the advocate in our hearts so that we might be strengthened to fight for the Miriams of the world. We have an advocate who has been sent. And as we commemorate Ascension Day later on this week, we have an opportunity to acknowledge what we've been given. In times we do need that still small voice. We need quietly to accept the embrace of the Holy Spirit as she sits with us and in us and connects us to that Trinity, that holy mystery. And at other times, we need the advocate to stand beside us and to yell through the din for the justice denied. And still at other times, we need to be that voice of the advocate. We need to be the ones who stand up and take all of the love and faith that we've been given to work forward for justice for all people. So I hope that you will remember this weekend on hopefully tomorrow's beautiful day, fingers crossed, in your prayers, the women and men who have given their lives, the families who supported them, the women and men who are still fighting, both in this country and abroad, who are stationed and ready to protect us, and those who need a protector and an advocate who aren't nearby, who we may not know their names, because there's more than one Miriam in this world. This advocate we've been sent is here for us to stand with us in good times and bad. If we can't find words to explain all the mysteries, maybe we can at least put words to that. Amen.
Amen.